Hey guys, what's up? It's us. We're still here.
Oh man.
L after L. the losses are piling up. We're at 17-10 now, but we're still going strong.
We're working.
In case you're new to the pod, we're Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Welcome.
We're your local experts, mostly, coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content you can handle and some general NBA stuff if we get around to it.
Nah.
Today we got a heck of a show lined up for you. We're going to start off with a recap, an unfortunate recap of last night's loss to the Raptors. That was a tough one to watch. Yours truly had to tune out at a certain point. I was getting too emotional.
Why don't you tell the new listeners your name?
William the Opinion Update.
Yeah, okay.
I thought I already did.
But you hadn't. If you're new to the show, we're nobody. Don't worry about us.
we're the voices in your head.
We were never given a name.
after that recap, we're going to get into our Wednesday segment, which is Parallel Universe.
Kind of educational.
What could have been. Yeah, this one is actually a little bit of a flashback. We're going to be talking about, man, I'm getting a little teary-eyed just even talking about it.
Yeah,
we're going to be talking about a playoff game in 1992 when the Clippers stayed in Los Angeles during the riots.
Yeah,
and played in a playoff series against the Jazz. So stay tuned for that, and then we're going to wrap up with some culture talk. A little bit of some big trade names have kind of been floating around for the Clippers. We're going to talk about where the team is headed, what their vibe is. I think there's a lot to assess after last night. So yeah, stay tuned for all that and more coming up right about now.
Before we get into this awful recap, we'd like to give a shout out to our new sponsor, Metro Infinity, just off the 210 in Monrovia. They're at 821 East Central Ave in Monrovia, California. They're the only dealer in California that is family owned and have been in business for over 25 years.
Metro Infinity.
One of the dopest parts about Metro Infinity is if you don't want to go to the dealership, they'll just bring everything to your office or, you know, your brother-in-law's birthday when you just want to flex on everybody, and you can sign the papers, take the car home, boom, you don't got to go anywhere. You mentioned Locked On, they'll give you another $500 off any car purchase. If you're thinking about a new Infiniti or just a new car in general, give them a chance to earn your business. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com.
So, man, final score of this Clippers-Raptors battle was 123-99.
The Raptors won.
Yeah. In case you were not aware, the Raptors won this game pretty handedly.
Yeah.
On the plus side, I think the score could have been a lot worse.
It should have been a lot worse, bro. Like, I mean, just looking at the stats, like, no one played well for the Clippers.
I disagree with that.
I guess the starters were awful.
The starters were not good. The second unit played very well. We'll talk more in depth about that, but that to me was the one shining light.
Yeah. That it was stamped out by Doc Rivers for some reason.
Yeah, obviously it was. Obviously, it's going to be an issue with Lou Williams gone. I'm actually like, I've said this a little bit. Like, if the Clippers injury bug is going to bite, I'm happy that it's happening in December versus April
for sure.
But I think with Lou off the second unit, it's a little bit of a wake up call for everybody to be like, oh wow, we all need to be more involved. Like without Lou able to just be like, all right, give me the ball, I got this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that it does force the second unit to step up. And I had thought originally that it would force the starters to step up. That did work out in Phoenix at the end of the game. Was not really the case in this contest.
Two very different teams, the Suns and the Raptors.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we'll just rattle off some quick stats at the top. We lost the game. we did out-rebound the Raptors by one.
Woo!
43-44.
Damn right.
It was meaningless.
Yeah.
They moved the ball a lot better than us. The ball got particularly stagnant.
Basically,
quarters two through four, the ball movement was really bad. So they out-assisted us 34-25. they were able to get eight steals off of us, and we committed 16 turnovers to their seven.
Yeah, for the Raptors, Serge Ibaka led all scorers with 25. Van Vliet had 14 assists. Boban led the Clippers with 18 points. Ty Wallace had the best game of this season, which was really tight to see, with 15-4-6. Our starters combined for 35 points.
Yeah, they got outscored by the Toronto Raptors starters 73-35.
I think Trez said it in the post game. We just got our asses kicked.
Yeah. It didn't look like we were in the same league as these guys.
The Raptors came out so fast.
Yeah.
They clearly had made a point to, we're going to run these guys out.
Yeah. We had the first points on the board, I believe.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. It was like I looked up, or I was like, I might have been tweeting or something, and I looked up and I was like, oh shit, we're down by 12.
Yeah, it was just like, I mean, they took us by storm. I'm pretty sure we had zero fast break points in this game.
We had four to their 28. So two things going into this game that was going to be really important was defending the three ball. We did not do. They shot for nearly 50% from three.
Yeah.
And
they shot 60% for the whole game, I think.
Like 52.
Everything. Oh, 52.
And then really minimizing fast break points because they're a fast transition team. Neither of those things happened.
Yeah. It was an all around. I mean, no one on the first unit showed up at all. Tobio combined for what?
21 points, 21 I believe.
Points. That's half of Tobio.
Yeah.
That should be half of Tobio.
One of those guys should be scoring that. Two guys getting paid $20+ million a year should, I think, however many millions of dollars you're getting paid.
That's your minimum for points scored?
Yes.
I
that
like
should,
that.
That should be your average points scored.
Yeah, so Avery Bradley should be able to put up better than 0-for-6 with one assist and a defensive rating of 134 in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, the starters were really underwhelming.
Two in particular.
And I thought this was one of the times where Doc, he wasn't flexible enough with his rotations.
No.
We've kind of been praising him as of late. This unit, they still totaled the most minutes by far at like 16 and a half of our starters, mm-hmm. Which it was just pretty apparent that it wasn't working.
It was so, it's clearly apparent. It was
apparent after the first quarter that it wasn't really working and something needed to change.
And he put in the lineup that, like, weirdly, the defense wasn't that great on this lineup.
Yeah.
But they did cut the lead to 6 at one point. We were only down 6 at one point in this game.
Yeah.
Which is pretty incredible. The lineup of Milos, Beverly, Ty Wallace, Mike Scott, and Trez looked great.
So they finished with the highest plus minus of the game at 9. They were one of the only lineups with a positive plus minus.
Yeah.
Which is very hard to do in a game that you lose by 25 points.
No, that's what I mean. I mean, Mike Scott grabbed 11 boards in this game.
Yeah.
Which is probably because of the zone that the Raptors were playing.
Yeah.
But still, 11 boards is phenomenal.
He was hustling really hard.
Showing off his handle a little bit.
Yeah. He there were a couple times where I was like, man, damn, Mike Scott can kind of dribble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a bright spot. And then there was another bench unit that also finished with a positive plus minus, mm-hmm. which was similar to that lineup, but it was a three guard-ish lineup with Milos at the 1, Ty Wallace at the 2, Thornwell picking up minutes at the small forward.
He hit a 3, which was dope.
Yeah, moving Scott to the power forward position and Boban at the 5.
That'd be a good meatball lineup. You put Gallo at the 5?
Toss Gallo at the 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it depends. I think it could have done, I don't know, it might have done okay on this. The shooting just wasn't there.
It was so bad
for our
dude.
Starters. It was really, really bad.
This is the thing that I've been particularly frustrated with all year. We shot 25 threes against a zone defense in a game that we lost by over 20 points.
Yeah, and we've now lost 3 games when, you know, in 3 of the last 4, I believe, right?
Yeah.
In games where they've played zone against us. So clearly very effective. Still hesitant to take the 3, and the ball is not moving.
It moves around the perimeter, and then it was so frustrating last night. The ball would move around the perimeter and kind of a spinning your wheels type vibe. The offense is still getting used to playing against zones, which I get would be a pretty big shock.
Yeah.
Once you're in the NBA.
Yeah.
But then, like, Gortat would be down low with 3 Raptors around him, and they'd kick it down low to Gortat.
Yeah.
And it was like, why are we doing this? Gallo's on the floor. Tobias is on the floor. Mike Scott took 1-3, made it. Next possession was taken out.
Yeah. I would be pro getting the ball to Gortat down low if he was going to be more of a playmaker.
Yeah. Or anything.
Yeah. I think that would be positive.
His defense was atrocious.
Yeah, there were multiple possessions where he was standing in front of Kyle Lowry, 5'8" Kyle Lowry. He's not really 5'8", but Gortat is a much larger man, not even putting a hand up.
No, he just watches him.
So I don't know what he's doing there defensively.
He doesn't do verticality. His body turns into a V, and he just lets people jump into him and push him out of the way.
Yeah. Like, he's not very physical.
At all. I don't even know. He was good at one point in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, he was decent to good. But like,
he's been a starting center for 25 years.
He just looks like a shell of his former self on the defensive end. Avery Bradley, for me, is the biggest liability for this team right now.
But a bright spot on that, what do we think about maybe throwing Ty Wall some more minutes?
Give it to him. He played, what, 20-something last night?
He played 25 minutes. Yeah,
and he looked great. Patrick Beverley shouted him out at in the postgame, which was awesome. He gave us a spark. He looks like he wants to be out there. It's not an effort thing. I shouldn't say it like that. But he looks like he knows what to do.
Yeah.
He's not overthinking. It seems like our guys get caught up in like trying to compute. It's kind of like what Austin Rivers used to do when he wasn't as good, as he's trying to compute all these possible outcomes for what's going to happen. And it kind of just like leads to those weird passes around the perimeter. And Ty Wallace is like, we need to score, guys.
Yeah. Well, and going off on that, I think a problem is I feel like what the Raptors did very well was like an egalitarian scoring thing.
Yeah.
Where like it was frustrating watching how good their ball movement was. Like a lot of driving kicks. Fred Van Vliet throws these goofy, like no look over the shoulder passes. Work. And
he's a young Milos.
Yeah. They were really, really great.
And granted, this is the best team in the NBA right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it would have been nice to not lose by this. We were only down by 6 at one point.
Yeah, it would have been nice for the score to be closer. I think, though, the issue is I feel like sometimes our guys get a little bit concerned with the scoreboard in a way that they're like almost playing ISO ball, and we don't have any ISO ball players.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We can't clear it out for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, moving forward, like off ball movement is just going to be, it's going to be huge. It's going to be a factor in like the literal ceiling of this team.
Yeah. Cause we're going to be seeing zones, I'd imagine, from here on out.
Yeah.
We can't score against it. Like one of the lone bright spots was Milos got some playing time, which everyone I'm sure listening to this loves. His passing against a zone defense is gorgeous. It's so nice to watch. He can find people. He did have as many turnovers as it assists.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, it's fun to watch. It needs to be tightened up a little bit.
Yeah,
but you know, if you're handling the ball a lot, you're gonna turn it over sometimes.
And he doesn't even get that much playing time. He went from like what, three, averaging like, I mean, I would assume like less than 2 minutes a game.
Yeah,
or something like that.
To 19 last night.
To 19, he was a big spark off the bench. I mean, with Lou out, I think we're gonna see more Milos.
Yeah,
I hope we see more Ty Wall. It just, I mean, those were the bright spots. It was the second unit really. Played pretty well, save for Trez. Mike Scott, I think, should have got a little more playing time.
Yeah. And Patrick Beverley couldn't make a shot, really, to save his life.
No.
But he was a nice combination, I guess, for that unit. I don't know. He wasn't really bringing it defensively, but he was some sort of glue.
Shea with this lineup would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Milos, Shea. Ooh.
I don't know. Nice. I just feel like we talked about this a little bit in the pregame, but it's so interesting to me that a team with 6 guards
still sucks at the guard position.
Yeah, like really has some big deficiencies in the backcourt.
We have like 2 of the biggest offensive black holes that you can have at point guard.
Yeah.
Well, that's our recap, guys.
Man, sorry about that.
Tough game.
As we said, though, like finish on a positive note, the bench played really great.
Bench played great.
If they can continue this and our starters can show up like they, you know, like they have in the past,
yeah.
I think that, you know, we're still sitting pretty. And the other thing I forget is, you know, I get a little wrapped up in our win losses and stuff, but like these guys have been coming off. They came off a hard 4-game road stretch. They played 1 game at home, and mm-hmm. now they're moving again.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't had back-to-backs at home.
That's a whole nother episode, but it's insane. Yeah, you don't get back to
we had a more favorable rest schedule
in the beginning,
and it's definitely gotten a lot harder. So I do think that does take a toll on the guys. That
For sure.
is hard to quantify.
Yeah. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking about some Arrow Universe, bit of a history lesson. But first, if you're following multiple Locked On podcasts at once, just follow Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates every single Locked On podcast network, local hosts covering their team, be it NFL or the NBA or college. It's great during games. Instagram, you get the bigger stories like during breaking news, which is tight. That's Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram. So this Arrow Universe is something, I don't know, pretty interesting. Not so much of what could have been, more of just like taking a look back at how crazy things got.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in 1992, during the Los Angeles riots, the Clippers were in the playoffs and the Lakers were in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers moved their playoff series to Las Vegas and the Clippers opted to play against the Jazz in Anaheim.
Yeah, there hadn't been a game played there in...
since 1968.
Wow.
The Anaheim...
34 years.
The Anaheim Amigos of the ABA had played there. At the Anaheim Convention Center, which had 7,400 people. The Clippers games against the Jazz was the first sporting event held in Southern California after the riots, which is pretty crazy. The fans who did show up witnessed, I mean, one of the more important victories, I would say, in the history of the Clippers.
Yeah, definitely. This was, I mean, they took that insane Utah Jazz team with Stockton and Malone to five games.
Yeah, they defeated the Jazz 115-107. Danny Manning had a cool 33 points and 10 rebounds.
Yeah, and Hollywood Ron Harper put up 12 boards as a point guard.
Billy Crystal, who sat courtside, shout out to Billy Crystal. That's awesome. Goes down to Anaheim, watches the game. Congratulated the team after the game. Clippers not only pushed the series to the limit, they helped begin the healing process for a city that didn't have much to cheer about, as ESPN said it.
Yeah, which I think is really interesting. Ralph Lawler said that it was one of his favorite moments in Clipper history.
It's such a like heavy, I mean, scene. I guess I can't think of a better word for that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. We've talked about this a little bit before, but there's something about, and I don't want to get too sappy, but like the unifying power of sports that has like, there's both a powerful like aspect of people rooting for the same thing. So in that way, like you're kind of on the same team. Mm-hmm. And also just, you know, to be quite honest, a distraction sometimes from things.
Absolutely.
That are getting really heavy.
Olden Polynice, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, former Clipper, when talking about it, said, I remember how loud it was. I've never felt that kind of electricity from a crowd. One thing that always sticks out about that game is that I was about to pass out. I was so hyped because of the fans' reaction to us and everything we'd been through. I almost hyperventilated. I had to sit down. The game hadn't even started, and Danny, Manny, and I were drenched. It was so intense. With the energy that we had, there was no way we were losing that game. It's just an incredible story, because when the riots broke out, which was during, it was during a Dodgers game, they really popped off. And then a Lakers game, there's stories of like people leaving the Staples Center. And I think it was Larry Brown talks about, he turns around because they were staying in Malibu, and just smoke, just the whole city. Shout out to the Clippers for not moving their game out of the state.
Yeah, I feel like this is something that isn't really touched on.
Seems like not swept under the rug, but like that's a big move for a team in a playoff series to be like, we're staying in the state. We're going, what, 2.5 hours away? Like,
yeah.
We're going to bring these people something nice.
Anaheim, you're saying, is 2.5 hours away?
Oh, how far away is Anaheim? I never go down there.
It's less than that. It's maybe an hour.
All right, let's call it an hour. Anyone else in Anaheim, correct me. I'm never at Legoland. I need to get out there more. Do you think if the Clippers had moved their game, that would have maybe prompted more of a push to leave LA later on?
You know, I think that's really interesting. I do think that there is some vitriol from some Lakers fans, not all, obviously, about the Clippers not being a Los Angeles team.
Yeah.
Which is really silly, and I feel like this is like a pivotal moment in like the fabric and history of this city.
For sure. Yeah, the Lakers left. They were like, we're going to go play in Vegas.
Yeah.
Why don't you play in Anaheim, dog?
Yeah.
I'm sure they would have given them priority over us.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, no one seemed to care that the Lakers moved because they were so good. But like, yeah, I think it would have driven more the like, it would have been another thing for people who didn't like the Clippers to be like, they didn't even play during the riots.
Yeah, well, and it also would have been hard for fans to see them, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, those like galvanizing moments like that, that for you as a fan are like, I will always be a fan because of this like X moment.
Yeah. Doc Rivers was on that team too.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. I mean, reading about it, there's a bunch of great articles about it. It's just such an intense moment that, I mean, we saw a clip on it from the game the other day. Ralph Lawler was talking about it. It just feels like there should almost be books written about this.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I just as a person am perpetually interested in like little happenings and stuff that went on during the riots. And this is like one of the most, I don't know, I feel like kind of unique or...
I would also say
really kind of special moments.
Ballsy.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
It's a big swing to take if you're the Clippers of like, we're going down to Anaheim. They tried to make, you know, the locker room as much as they could. Like, I think the Jazz, before they moved down to Anaheim, they were practicing in like some high school gym. They had to have like chains around the doors and like police escorts and stuff like that. Like, it's just incredible what these guys had to go through during a time when, I mean, one of the darker periods in the history of LA.
How is there not a 30 for 30 about this?
What if I told you There should be. Anyone listening who has connections with 30 for 30, I'm sure a ton of people are big producers out there.
Opening, freeze frame. I bet you're wondering how I got here.
It's Ralph Lawler, like, spilling something on his chest. Oh, we like to laugh about basketball games during the riots. I guess that's kind of all we got to say about that. Just an interesting snapshot.
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah, I don't know. I think it's awesome.
As two guys who are from Montana and have never been around something like that, it was just very... It's very cool to read about the team that we really love doing good things like that.
Yeah.
The Clippers are very active in the community now, which is great too. I think this maybe set a nice precedent for them as an organization.
Definitely.
Every single LA sports team, except for the Lakers also, was part of a big like unify the schools donation thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Clippers, the Lakers weren't on it. Got to be a real dickhead not to support the schools. all right. Coming up after this, we're going to do a little bit of Clippers culture talk.
So, we got a tough stretch of games coming up.
Oof.
Really find out what this team is made of.
Yeah. Do you want to rattle off these 10?
Yeah. So, we got upcoming Spurs, Thunder, Blazers, Mavs, God, Nuggets, sucks. Warriors, Kings, hey! Lakers, Spurs again, Sixers.
So, we're currently 17 and 10. Are we going to be below 500 after this stretch?
Man. I don't know about that. I think that we could go...
You think we get to 500?
I was gonna say I think we could go 500 over this stretch. I don't think that we'll put down both Spurs games.
No, I think we maybe put down the one on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Depending on Lou's availability, I mean, I could see us taking down the Lakers.
For those who maybe don't know, Lou is out anywhere. Doc said maybe 1 to 2 weeks. So two weeks.
2 weeks seems very optimistic for a hamstring.
Yeah, it doesn't seem good. Yeah, I think we can take one from the Kings, unless they're playing really well, which they kind of are right now. And I guess maybe one against the Spurs, Mavs. That's all I got. Maybe the Lakers.
Maybe the Lakers. Maybe the Blazers.
That'd be nice.
I would really like to see this team avenge that Nuggets loss. We were really close last time.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a bunch of injuries, including Paul Millsap, who really, I mean, like, was really solid defensively and kind of hurt us in that game.
Sappy Paul.
who it seems like is perpetually injured.
Yeah, he's had a pretty unfortunate career with injury luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, he's always like in the updates and stuff like that.
Yeah, ever since he's been on the Nuggets, it's been especially bad. He didn't play most of last season, and then this year, coming back from an injury, toe injury now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we will really see what this team is made of these next 10 games.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get to a couple of these. You're going to the Mavs game, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm going to the Mavs game on the 20th.
I'm headed to the Spurs game on the 29th, and then maybe the Nugs game on the 22nd. So they'll probably win all those games that we go to because we're there. There's been some articles... Two pretty big articles that came out yesterday during the Clippers getting absolutely destroyed by the Raptors,
mm-hmm.
about how Ballmer's grand plan is to land both Kawhi and Durant.
Yeah, which seems overly optimistic.
I had a plan to buy a house when I was 16. That didn't happen. Like, it seems very optimistic, which I guess I like.
Yeah. But all this stuff is always just rumors.
Yeah, I think it's different when it comes from the owner.
Yeah.
It's a little harder to be like, I just kind of want to be like, come on, man, we don't need to be, this doesn't need to be coming from the owner right now. Like,
definitely. Yeah. Stephen A. had something interesting to say about it. He said that the Clippers snagging both Kawhi and KD from underneath the Lakers would be the greatest heist in the history of the NBA.
Agreed.
And Max Kellerman, I thought rather aptly, went on to compare it to the situation when Jerry West was with the Lakers and he was instrumental in the recruitment of Shaq and knowing that they were going to, like, in the drafting of Kobe.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool. I also don't think the Lakers are in play for either of these guys.
I would not think so.
Like, Durant apparently doesn't really like LeBron. He took those weird shots at him. Kawhi,
it makes
also
sense that they would not play on a team together.
Of course.
Durant's career has been semi-tarnished throughout the Warriors thing. I feel like it would be irreparable if he were to join the Lakers.
But you and I are both of the mind that Kawhi isn't leaving.
No.
They look so damn good without Kawhi.
Yeah, that's the thing. This team is so solid. And, you know, likewise, the Clippers is like a really solid team, but they're in the East, man. And I just don't think...
Why would you leave?
Yeah, if you played for the Spurs and like had to grind out every, you know, every year as hard as you did to make it
to the conference finals.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it remains to be seen because the Raptors have a torrid history with the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I see very little chance that this team isn't at least an Eastern Conference finalist for at least the next three seasons.
And my whole thing, I always come back to this, he bought a house. He is not renting a house in Toronto.
Yeah, I know, but
you seen the housing market in Toronto? I mean, I think we were talking about this before we started recording.
Real estate just doesn't matter, though, if you're an NBA player.
We both also, we're going to get someone really good in free agency. I want to get Durant, and obviously everyone wants to get someone like Anthony Davis, but I feel like there's still maybe the chance we don't get either of those guys. There's as good a chance, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I like all these reports, and it's nice stuff to hear, and the Clippers is definitely a much more functional landing place than it's been for a long time. I just think that we need to be realistic in our expectations and know that, yeah, one of these top build guys just still might be a little bit out of our reach.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, it's not a lock at all. And this is the first time the Clippers have been in this position where we've been like, ooh, a big dude wants to maybe come here.
Yeah.
So we're maybe kind of feeling like it's done in a sense that we are going to get one of the top guys.
Yeah, and I do think that we will get an all-star.
Sure.
I'm not saying 100%. That. I don't want anybody to get down on that. I just think that, it might not be one of the top build names.
Yeah. Weird pivot. We need a center.
Yeah.
We need someone inside who can do both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Doc was talking about the meatball lineup, which if you're new to the podcast, that's anytime Gallo's playing the five. We're pretty proud of that one.
I love it.
I'm not going to use it a lot. But at the end of games, it's really good. One possession, it's great. Especially if you can catch a team that leaves their five on the floor. So right now, that's how we'll use it. This lineup has bailed us out against the Heat and the Suns. And Doc said they hadn't practiced a lot. But still, if it's clearly working, why not give it more of a chance?
Especially when we're playing zones.
Why poo-poo it and be like, I'm not going to use it a lot, despite it bailing us out against two bad teams.
Yeah.
That we needed to get wins against.
Yeah.
Playing zones!
especially if people are going to continue to play zone like that and kind of cut off driving lanes. I mean,
think of me. So
it just makes more sense from a scoring perspective to have Gallo at the five more so than any other center, including Delgado and Motley.
God, free Motley. Last night it was like we could use someone down there who can do both sides.
I mean, Boban was our leading scorer.
Yeah. But yeah, just frustrating. How about this for a five real quick? You got Gallo at the five.
All right.
Obviously, meatball lineup.
Strongest man in the NBA.
Strongest man in the NBA. Gallo at the five. Mike Scott at the four.
All right. I'm liking it.
Toby three.
Okay.
Shea two. Milos.
Ooh.
That's a fun lineup.
Ooh.
That's a spicy meatball lineup.
That is a spicy meatball. No, I really like that. That's defensively questionable. That was the one flaw with that lineup, as we mentioned earlier last night.
But they were plus nine.
Yeah, that bench unit could not really stop anything.
But hey, no one good.
Yeah.
Guys, that wraps it up. I have been positive Chuck Mockler. Tomorrow we're gonna have a preview of the game against the Spurs, taking a look at what are we doing on Thirsty Thursdays, what you want to see more of.
Yeah.
And general NBA wrap up. Thanks for listening.
Hey, I'm William the Opinion Updike.